Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal throwaway, the Emirates Cup. West Ham's new boys got a run out against Fulham. And Vincent Kompany lost his first game in charge with Anderlecht. Hi, gang. I'm Marcus. Hello. He's Luke. He's Petey's Jim.
Hello. Luke's trying to distract me by taking his shoes off and presenting them to me like he's just killed a tiny ball.
It's like a football celebration. You hold it up.
He's got his boot there. I'm waiting for him to pour Bailey's into it, and then we'll all have a little drink.
You can still find him.
Quite a hill on them. Yeah. Don't worry, everyone listening. I am wearing socks, so there's nothing unhygienic going on.
Why is there letters PS on the back of your shoe? Like, PS, these are my feet.
PS, don't forget to tie them.
Yeah. Jim hits a PS.
You've gone Paul Smith.
Only in an email. Although actually, it's weird on shoes as well. It's also
irrelevant. It's because they're Paul Smith, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a boring answer, isn't it?
You do have a few pairs of shoes with your name, though. So.
I do, actually. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a bit of monogramming, I would say.
Did your mum sew them on?
Yeah, she did, yeah. Sorry, I don't forget my name, Jim.
As you always say. Yeah. I did say at the top of the show there that Arsenal threw away the Emirates Cup. What I mean by that was that it was a lead they threw away. They didn't say, you know what, this is worth absolutely nothing.
But
let's put it in the bin.
They don't say that when they win it.
It's a bit of a shame because they couldn't add to the tally of 5 Emirates Cups. A little bit disappointing, Jim. But as we said about the international...
The most anyone's got.
As we said about the International Champions Cup, there's always next year.
We've won it 5 times.
But it was great for Leon and nice to see ex-Manchester United player Memphis Depay lift the trophy. Wouldn't you agree, Jimmy?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed Depay and Dembele as well.
Andy Brassel's favourite, isn't he, Memphis? Yes. He loves him. He absolutely loves him.
He really does. I enjoyed Depay on Pybury Corner.
Very good. Bayern Munich ladies beat Arsenal ladies. So no Arsenal teams won the Emirates Cup this year.
They're having a stinker.
Arsenal did beat Bayern in pre-season though, so that'll show them.
Yeah, but not when it counted.
Well, you know.
But there we are. But yeah, Moussa Dembele, nice to see him. Scoring the goals. I mean, he's been rumoured links with various teams and whatnot, but hasn't got anywhere, but what a shop window, eh? Mm. The Emirates Cup is.
Why won't people learn from Virgil van Dijk and just go direct to Celtic?
Yeah.
Let's make it very clear. It's a lovely afternoon out, the old Emirates Cup.
Celtic?
No.
I've been to the Emirates Cup before, you're right.
It's nice, lovely afternoon.
I feel like I might have been to a long, long time. How many years has it been going, Jim? 6, 7, 8 years?
Well, I saw Robinho playing for Real Madrid in the Emirates Cup.
Wow. Rings a bell, okay.
So that's a little while ago.
Long, long time ago. Skip forward a bit more. Memphis Depay.
Yeah, well
American
done.
American Pie.
Well done. It's not even the tune.
No.
Yeah, if you'd have gone bye-bye Memphis Depay, you'd have been onto something.
And on the continent, of course, we always do, walking in Memphis.
Oh, nice.
Because they call it Memphis, a lot of people. So it's,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go, see. Memphis, the home of rock and roll.
He was thinking when it all went wrong at Man United, he'd never see success in England.
Well,
he's proved himself wrong.
What is your favourite version of the
here we go.
Walking in Memphis? Cher. The original.
Who was it? Mark
Cohn is the original.
Yes. Mark Cohn, yeah. He takes off his blue suede shoes.
Boarded the truck.
The plane. No, he puts on his blue suede shoes.
Yeah.
But then he must take them. I've said this before. You must take
touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues.
You must take them off.
Right, come on.
As you go through security, you must take off your shoes again.
But it's pre-September 11th. So he's not thought about that.
Fair dues.
Yeah.
There we are. Arsenal. There we are. The Emirates Cup. Sammy Khedira was in the stands, Jim.
Yeah, apparently he was a guest of Bayern Munich. Either that.
I'm enjoying the fact that Mark's trying to drag us back to the Emirates Cup.
That's how bad
it is. Like it's actually football.
Pete, I also like that in the running order that we all share, Pete, Marcus has put, Sammy Khedira was spotted in the stands. Why was he there? Wicked Whispers.
Just to inspire some Wicked Whispers. Yeah.
Spell as Wicked Whispers.
A reminder to yourself.
How wicked are your whispers?
Not that wicked, because everyone saw it. Can't give it a whisper. Yeah.
A whisper.
I think that he might fancy signing for Leon.
Do you know what
might happen? He said, whoever wins this cup...
I'll give you a whisper, and you can decide how wicked it is. I heard a whisper that he's in the UK because he's heavily linked to Wolves.
Yes. I saw that as
That'd
well.
That'd be a lovely sign.
I mean, he's gone to the wrong place, though, hasn't he? So that's a bit embarrassing.
He's working his way up.
Watch a bit of football.
Yeah.
So Sammy, you're going to sign for Wolves. Great. Yeah. This is the place where you're almost certainly going to get your first win of the season. Check it out. Visualise it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Notoriously bad home form.
I want to go to Wolves chucking a couple of Emirates Cup tickets for you?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Jim's
fuming because Arsenal are very good at home. It's fair point, Jim, but it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
But
it's
better
joke.
News for Arsenal,
it's a
though.
Joke!
Nicolas Pepe. Looks like he's going to Arsenal.
This is the sort of news you want.
72 million big boys.
It's very exciting. We're already starting to call him Nicolas Pepner.
It's some pep in your step.
I'm very excited by this. I'm also very wary of it. I won't believe it until I see the picture of him in a shirt shaking the manager's hand, which they don't even do anymore.
Just the really overwrought Instagram video.
It's a shame, that isn't it? That's something that's been overcomplicated and has definitely devolved.
Get to the top of one of the biggest stands in the stadium, hold up a scarf, couple of photos,
there we are.
Off you go.
Absolutely. And if
it should be exactly like the scene in The Office when David Brent's holding up the big check.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what it should be.
Is Lille to Arsenal the shortest distance that you can do
continental
move?
Oh, it's a good question.
It must be, surely.
For what, from Britain
to a British team, to the Premier League? Is that the shortest?
Because you can go direct on the Eurostar.
No,
exactly.
Hang on.
To King's Cross.
From King's Cross,
and that is walking distance.
But surely, though, I mean, it's somewhere in Ireland, Wales or Liverpool, maybe?
No, I mean, from mainland Europe into the Premier League.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It has to be specifically Premier League. So Liverpool would have to be.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go from some sort of club in Dublin, probably.
I think that's closer.
You can
Has anyone done it?
Lille to Arsenal is 174.2 miles, according to Google.
But I'm just sort of thinking more like the train, because obviously if you get on a plane, it might be quicker, but then you've got to wait, you've got to go through security, take off your blue suede shoes, board the plane.
Here we go.
On a train, it's quite it's much quicker, especially if you go for the business upgrade. It's only half an hour you've got to wait before you actually get on the train.
Yeah, it's a huge misconception about the speed of plane travel when it comes to short distances, because people don't factor in the time you've got to get the airport before, the faffing about. Mm-hmm. For me, London.
Got to get a giraffe breakfast.
Let's take London to Edinburgh, for example.
Oh, I did it recently.
I'm training all day for that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not planning that.
Especially when you get up to Berwick and you get the coast bit and it's all
lovely,
bloody beautiful.
Lovely.
It is beautiful.
So, Jim, you rate him?
Yeah. I'm very excited to. Well, I mean, let's hope it happens first. I hadn't thought about the distance. Perhaps that explains what maybe seems like quite an incongruous move at the start, because there's been this whole kind of thing about Arsenal only having £40 million to spend, and then they're just bidding for everyone all over the place, it would seem. But obviously the payments will be staggered, and that's normal, isn't it? Pretty much every transfer is done like that. It's very rare that something's up front, but it's like we're just seeing under the hood a little bit more now.
We are,
because of the crazy amounts of money sloshing around.
Some of the reports were saying that the reason why they sort of backed down from Zaha, putting a bid for the Palace player, was because that they wanted the cash up front, and Arsenal were a bit like, no, I don't know whether they can or they won't do that, and that kind of scuppered that
deal.
But
it's one of the things where there are a number of different ways to interpret a transfer fee, and it suits everyone for them to talk it up. It suits Arsenal because the fans can be like, oh, we have spent money, And so, fair enough, they're putting their money where their mouth is. It suits Lille in this case because they go, well, look, we didn't want to lose him, but he's probably our best player.
And we got a load of money.
But we got a load of money. Mm.
We'll take a fiver a year for the next 1,000 years.
But, I mean, if you look at one of the, I mean, talking earlier, Jim, just reminded me of it when I said, oh, well, yeah, Wolves will probably win at the Emirates. And you said, actually, Arsenal's home record's really good. Is it kind of a misconception that Arsenal haven't spent money under the current ownership as well? Because they have spent quite a lot of money. If you look at the players they've bought for big fees, there's quite a few of them.
They have, but...
sold a few, haven't they?
Well, it's obviously Arsenal make money through sponsorship and kit deals and things like that. And I saw a graph earlier in the season, which basically had the areas of investment that the team's money comes from. And Arsenal were the only one whose owners had put nothing in. So it's all self-generated. It's all stuff that comes from like the commercial deals and stuff like that. So yeah, they have spent money, but they are sort of in this frustrating position where they have this huge, huge outlet blocked off that every other club has access to. Yeah.
Right, because Mark, if you just look through, I mean, over the last few years...
I mean, Aubameyang cost £52 million.
Exactly, like Mustafi, £36 million, Xhaka, £40 million, Lacazette, £47 million, Mkhitaryan, yeah. £30 million, Aubameyang, £57 million, Lucas Torreira, £25 million, Bernd Leno, £22 million.
Yeah, not paltry sums.
Do you reckon they write that on the wall and sort of go every time the manager comes in and goes, can you just buy us a goddamn defender? Yeah. And they go point at the Mustafi.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't do it anymore.
Look what happened.
Look at that.
Yeah. We don't play with defenders now.
Twice shy.
The difference is now, though, that being in the Europa League for three seasons is catching up. So that has obviously, you know, affected the revenue.
Well, one of the board, it might have been Kroenke himself, but somebody in the upper echelons at Arsenal said, you know, we have a Champions League wage bill, but Europa League income.
Yes.
And that is the reality for a club like Arsenal. But of course, they've got to get back to the Champions League, and it's not going to be an easy task. But I think Pepe, if you watch...
Oh, he's exciting.
He really is.
It's hard to think of a player you'd be more excited about, realistically,
that they can get
to be linked to him, because he smashed it in the French League last season.
He was brilliant.
And his numbers were big. He's exciting to watch. He's fast. Yep. He's strong.
Jim, can I say something very, very lazy about Pepe? Down the right, cutting in on the left, opening the body...
Yeah.
Keeper's bottom right. I mean, it's a bit Thierry Henry, isn't it?
it's so lazy.
You
sounded like that football commentator from the Fash Shop.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's also not putting any pressure at all on the player.
So no.
I do like the idea of him playing with Aubameyang and Lacazette. I wonder how often they would play together. Probably a lot. But yeah, the defender thing is important. But we've been linked with Regani from Juventus, which would make sense given that De Ligt has gone there. So, I mean, that would be a loan deal as well. I think, you know, Edu is presumably very good based on how things have sped up. But, of course, you know, everything needs to be got over the line yet. So if they can get Regani in, this would be a fantastic window.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of defenders and all, I mean, Kolasinac said they're going to come out fighting.
Wow. Yeah, which he does.
Yeah, blimey. That's horrible scenes with him and Ozil.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we sort of joke about it. You know, Kolasinac, you know, all the jokes you saw.
Being tough.
Yeah, but my goodness, it's absolutely horrible stuff. Yeah, but they've been offered psychological support if required.
What, the robbers? I'll tell you what.
Me and Kolasinac.
I'll tell you what. They turned heel pretty quick.
They did.
I swear that was their bag that he was defending. I've got it now.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't want to trivialise what is a hugely distressing incident for everyone involved, of course. But, I mean, the video is remarkable.
But
it's a remarkable video.
It reminded me of, was it Bonucci?
He chased a man on a moped.
That's right.
Did he catch him? I think he did.
I think he might have chinned him.
Yeah.
I think.
Gordon Bennett.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. You see.
Yeah. Terrible. Hopefully they're all okay. I mean, I'm led to believe they are okay. Which so yeah. All's well.
Yeah,
everyone
sort of make it. It's, Ozil ran off. But I think his wife was in the car. Apparently. Yeah. That was the thing.
Well, and it looked like the situation was under control from Kolasinac as well.
Oh, Kolasinac.
Yeah. Those men are just bones now.
Yeah.
Dust. Just dust.
I'm. Be honest with you, Jim, this is not me trying to jinx anything because that doesn't exist, but I am actually quite looking forward to seeing what Arsenal are going to do this coming season. If they can get Pepe in, I would love to see some of their younger players. It's a bit of a cliched thing to say, and I understand pre-season is not during season, should I say. How are you feeling about it?
I'm looking forward to it because I think it's very, very unlikely that Arsenal will finish in the top four this season. If there are significant defensive changes, if Tierney and for example, Regani or X good defender came in, I might be a little bit like, oh, you know what, we might be able to challenge for the top four here. But at the moment, I don't think that will be the case. So I think it's a sort of period of regeneration. So it'd be good to see the young players that come through the academy coming through. Good to see how Martinelli fits in. Mm-hmm. And it feels like...
It should have happened 5 years ago.
Yeah, it should have happened 5 years ago. But yeah, I think that there isn't the pressure of expectation. I think it's, you know, because Arsenal have missed out on the top four three times now, it's not going to feel like the disaster it did at the start, yeah. Even though it's worse now because the longer you're out of the Champions League, the more of a problem it is. But yeah, I'm cautiously zen about it. Can you be cautiously zen? Not really, but yeah, I'm zen about it.
Of course you are. You always are. All right. Well, from Gunners to Hammers. After the embarrassment of losing to Newcastle, West Ham beat Fulham 1-0 in a friendly on the weekend. Their new signings, Pablo Fornals and Sebastian Allaire, were on show. But it was 19-year-old academy product Ben Johnson who impressed again. He played one game last season in the league away to Manchester City. But he looks a player. There was a lot of excitement from West Ham fans around him. Again, only pre-season, but still, it's a football match and he played well, so fair enough. Mm. I love this, though. Paul Parker is his uncle. Ledley King is his cousin.
Good. Nice. That is a
what a footballing
bit.
Family.
Yeah, it's great, great pedigree there. You're right, it is difficult to know really exactly what's going on because we saw, I mean, maybe we'll come on to it later, I'm not sure, but Liverpool were beaten quite heavily by Napoli in the last day or two. But it's difficult to know what stage of pre-season people are at, what the manager and the coaching staff are prioritising in terms of shape or its fitness or if it's whatever it may be. And also you've got players coming back at the top level, you've got players coming back late for different reasons. So Lanzini scored, didn't he? It was a nice goal, actually, off the crossbar. Nice finish.
They've got a bit of quality in there.
They have. I'm actually quite excited for West Ham this season. If he can to use a Marcus Speller phrase, if he can have a bit of a mix and a blend and get everything balanced. And with the experience that Pellegrini's got as a coach. Pellegrini's got as a coach. And all the sweet weed he's smoking. Have you not seen his eyes? He's like red, like bloodshot eyes.
Ben Johnson, obviously the name.
Well,
he's obviously not going to get stressed because he's going to be chill. And so it could go well.
Yeah, that's
we'd like to state for the record the manager of West Ham is not on the bifters.
As far as we know.
No accusations here.
Yeah. No.
Not on mic, anyway. Mm. I think they've got a decent squad, as you say. Yeah. I think there's a lot of chat. In fact, Andy Brassel, I think, on the Continent said.
He loves Allaire, doesn't he?
He absolutely loves him and said he could break the curse, the striker curse that West Ham seemed to
have. Which we talked about since 2010 or something, you know, 38 strikers or something like that. Yeah.
My goodness, yeah.
So. Pablo Fornal sounds made up, doesn't it?
He sounds like a regen.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm also, I suppose, not surprised because he must be on a big contract, but I thought there would have been more attempts to prize Felipe Anderson away from West Ham because he had an excellent season.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. He's got quality again. If he can get, as Luke quite rightly says, the mix and the blend right of that attacking, players with Lanzini and
the thing
Felipe.
Is, at first glance, Jim, I was tempted to agree with you, but I think if you explore that, you know, he's on a big contract, and as you said, and the Premier League is the only game in town when it comes to money.
China's got 5 days left.
True. That is true. Yeah, I think they've got two left now. Wednesday closes, but they are. If you take the fact that he's probably going to stay in the Premier League, well, he's not going to go to Man United.
No.
He's not going to go to Man City. He doesn't fit in there. Chelsea have got a transfer ban. Arsenal aren't going to go and get him.
And West Ham look quite exciting. They've got a decent manager.
So,
you're playing at the London Stadium, mate.
And no club outside of the Premier League, bar maybe Real Madrid and Barcelona or whatever, can afford to prize him away. So
exactly.
I'm pleased that he's staying there. He's a really exciting player.
Yeah. I really like him.
The Yarmolenko feature as well. And I remember thinking, Yarmolenko, oh yeah, he got that massive injury.
Yeah, he did.
We never really saw
quite what he's got. He scored a lot of goals when he was in Ukraine. He did okay for Dortmund. It was not brilliant. I'd like to see attacking player who's got potential.
Yeah, absolutely. But they've got a lot of very good wide players. And also, you know, you see it so often with teams where, you know, they've got a particular asset and it's just give the ball to them. And I don't know why West Ham don't just set up as just cross to Mikel Antonio. Just get every outfield player, get those crosses into that bullet-headed specialist.
If you put him straight up top.
A bullet-headed specialist. It's like Jason Statham.
Yeah. Well, they had Andy Carroll when it didn't
they
quite...
They did.
They were
aiming at the wrong place.
They certainly were. Well, yeah, a little bit of excitement for a change around West Ham. And we sort of take the piss at what's going on there.
But oh, that will come.
Well, maybe it will. Maybe. What about Fulham? They signed Anthony Knockaert on loan.
Yeah, it's a
season.
Funny one, isn't it? On paper.
Are you surprised Brighton let him go?
I think he needs a move, doesn't he? It's just a classic example of a player just needing to go somewhere else.
But I wonder if, though, with Knockaert, that he... Brighton, that, I mean, very, very defensive, of course, last season, just about survived.
Yeah.
And for a player like him, he'll remember the good times in the Championship when he was probably the best player or one of the best players. He looks at Fulham. It's a lovely old time.
Well, he also had a lot of issues off the field.
He has,
Later part of last year, I think his father passed away.
That's
and he's,
right.
he's acknowledged saying that he's battling depression. Mm. He's also been through a divorce. He's had a lot going on his plate, to say the least. And so that's obviously going to be a factor. That's going to, that kind of stuff coming along like that all at once or whatever it is going to affect, you know, everyone. So maybe, as you say, Marcus, he just needs a move. He's a kind of player that, I mean, when he was in, it's a few seasons ago now, of course, he just destroyed the Championship. Yeah. He was the best player in the Championship by a mile. And perhaps it's a bit reductionist and a little bit kind of unfair given what he's been through to say that maybe the Premier League's harder for him. But clearly he needs a fresh start, and if down Fulham will have a lovely time.
He will do it. And actually, there's no shame in him thinking, if it is, as you say, there's probably a lot of thoughts going on, but if it is in terms of pure footballing matters, if he thinks to himself, you know what, we've had a good time in the Premier League with Brighton, you know, we've survived, we've achieved a bit here, but actually, like, just doing the doggies, you know, not being able to attack that much. He loves scoring goals. He loves creating all that sort of stuff. Yeah. You play at Fulham. Now, Fulham will be hoping for at least a promotion, at least a sort of a playoff kind of position. Who knows what Scott Parker will come up with. But you would expect him to be able to express himself a bit more.
Definitely. He's 27. Absolutely. He's in the prime of his football career. Yeah. I think he could get his career back on track, I think.
And if you do get a chance, do read that interview. I think it's with Darren Tullett in The Guardian. It was towards the end of last year. It's worth reading about Knockaert and what he's been through.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Time for a little break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer are having a fight. Goodness me, what on earth is going on?
Ah, yesterday.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. From Monday the 5th of August, the Football Ramble will become Football Ramble Daily, a new podcast every day, Monday to Saturday, including your usual rambles and some exciting new faces as well. Make sure you're subscribed on the Ramble feed to ensure you never miss an episode.
New faces. Thank Christ, because you guys must be sick of us.
Do you remember the two Unlimited song, Faces?
No.
It's kind of like probably a third or fourth follow-up single.
Let me guess. Did it go, Faces, Faces, Faces,
Faces, Faces, went, Faces, 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 Everywhere, Everywhere.
Yeah, I do remember
everywhere.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that sounds
You've
horrible.
Got to the end of this show to find it.
That really, faces Everywhere.
It's nightmarish, isn't it?
It's horrible. Yeah.
They had another one called Maximum Overdrive.
Go on. I remember Maximum Overdrive.
Turning up the bass. Check it out. To the maximum.
I remember Chris Morris interviewing them on Radio 1 once, and he tried to get them to congratulate the World War One pilot Douglas Bader. And it was very enjoyable.
Anyway, I hope that's not been lost in all that. But do check out Football Ramble Daily from Monday.
I cannot wait for the season to start.
Yeah.
For many reasons. Peter, let's have some emails.
Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees! Ah!
You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Dalton Newton. What's going on, lads? I didn't make that intro up. He didn't actually say
Sounds
that.
Like a lovely pint of IPA there.
Dalton Newton. No, it sounds like someone who makes paintbrushes.
A cheese. Yeah, it does a bit. Yeah, paintbrushes is a good shout.
All right. Oh, Stella Dalton, did they make sinks?
Royal Dalton.
Royal Dalton, no. All right, boys. Got a great story about a Newcastle centre-half, a notable good guy, a Florin Lejeune from a few weeks back. My mate works at a retail store named Flannels in the Metro Centre. Unfortunately, one of the Fat Man Ashley's endeavours.
Oh, the one that always has the thing around the side of the Newcastle United pitch. Yeah. And I didn't actually, know what it was
their home base, so to speak, is on Oxford Street.
Is that their upmarket version of Sports Direct?
Yeah, yeah, they sell premium goods.
Okay.
If indeed that
big mugs
exists.
Big mugs?
I don't know, actually. I don't know whether they sell any crockery.
Let us know.
Big carafes. Big
Sports Direct carafes. They sell big carafes of wine, yeah.
And while begrudgingly going through his evening shift, he saw none other than Florin Lejeune investigating the range of Canada Goose jackets on sale.
Ooh, he got him working there.
As any bored employee and lifelong Toon fan would do, he went over to ask the Frenchman if he needed any help. Florin politely asked the price of a particular jacket on the rack. That's £465, mate. £465? Are you serious? That's far too much for a jacket. Who can afford that? Replied Florin Lejeune, a man who currently earns a measly £665,000 a week. He then immediately exits the shop, shaking his head. I suppose when you work under Ashley, the penny pinching is infectious. Just wait until he finds out his lucrative new contract is 0 hours, pay as you earn. Looking forward to seeing you at the live show in Newcastle. All the best, Dalton Newton. Thank you very much for your email. Dalton, if you would like to see us live in Newcastle or anywhere else, we are playing a lot of different venues. It's ramblelive.com.
Yeah, it's all through September and October. So don't sleep on it, guys.
Looking
it's going
to
be fun. It's going
to
be fun.
That
and also 0 hours contract, pay as you earn. Pay as you earn is the tax arrangement when you've got a good full-time contract. So that doesn't make any sense.
But he would Dalton. His contract would be pay as Lejeune, wouldn't
he? Lejeune. He's rescued it.
Thank you.
You'd think that Lejeune would at least have a little loyalty card. That would he not like it to have a 10% literal employee's discount? Because obviously he's employed by Mike Ashley.
You'd hope so. You would hope so, yeah.
Hello to, have you got here, Little Chris Sayers, a.k.a. Baby Spice. And that reference will become clear. Hi, guys. While enjoying an Easter egg series, I was reminded of an incident involving the Scotch egg Gary McAllister a few years back. I was part of a stag group in Edinburgh. Keep it in short, Spella, and our fancy dress theme was the Spice Girls. We were halfway through an excellent night, and by this point our whistles were well and truly whetted. You can only imagine our delight as when one of the boys, girls, happened to spot the old Scotch egg himself. We immediately burst into a chorus of his famous song, and he was a great sport, merrily jumping and dancing around the street. Gary McAllister, jumping and dancing around the street. During a particularly enthusiastic chorus, Gary asked which one of us was a stag.
Which one was a stag?
And we all pointed to Scary Spice. To our surprise and enjoyment, in a split second, Gary flipped Scary Spice around and started dry humping her. From behind for a good 20 humps. Here's the photograph. Here's the photograph.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's
Gary
hard to know.
He is as well.
Is that problematic or not?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I mean, Gary McAllister decided to do it, so I mean.
I think you should describe what Gary McAllister's wearing.
What's he got on his feet?
Yeah, he looks like he's on a stag.
Has he got espadrilles with socks on?
He's wearing espadrilles with socks and he's humping a man dressed as a Scary Spice.
Is it a salmon t-shirt?
That is a salmon t-shirt.
Is it an Alex Salmon colour
t-shirt? He's resting his gut on the man's posterior, which I'm enjoying immensely.
The espadrilles with socks is a textbook Pete Donaldson power move.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson flexes move. All the time with socks in the espadrilles, don't you, Pete?
Look, everyone's having a lovely time in that photograph, including Gary McAllister. We can't see Scary Spice's face.
Yeah.
So
protect the innocent.
Protect the innocent.
It's probably been picked up on one of the cameras, that.
But yeah, that happened 3 years ago, apparently. So
why is it taking you this long?
We are wise to commemorate such a momentous occasion.
Absolutely right.
Thank you very much to Chris Sayers, aka Baby Spice. I wish it was Sven too, he says in the PS. just one big boys club, isn't it?
There we go, yeah.
There we are.
If you want to get to the show, shortthefootballramble.com.
.com. Now then, I thought to myself, we don't need to mention Newcastle.
No.
This time round. We've talked enough about Newcastle United.
It's the gift that keeps on giving,
you know. And I thought we won't put them in the running order. Then Mike Ashley gave an interview.
My view always was we had to keep Rafa. For my own personal safety, we had to keep him. I thought he had us offside. He had us cornered. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. I've been totally outmaneuvered. I probably shouldn't own a football club. It's ridiculous. But I'm a big boy. You know, some of the fans don't even believe the accounts. Where's the money? You've got it somewhere. What are you talking about? How do I fiddle this? It's like asking me if I'm on drugs. Don't be bloody idiotic. Mm. I don't do drugs. Everything else I might be guilty of. Were you out drinking the other night, Mike? More than likely. All direct quotes from the interview.
Was this sobbed into a fireplace?
I think I am negative to that football club. I give myself 1 out of 5 because I've made proper mistakes. I was shocked by the reaction to Steve Bruce. He doesn't deserve it. He's one of their own. I don't think the fans quite realise what they've got because I'm hoping he's the one. Now, all these quotes are there to be read, but this one is most damaging.
Can I say this one, before you, just to give it a little bit more gravitas so Pete can listen and everyone else... This is chilling.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think I could own this club forever.
Mm. It's like a Geordie-themed version of Memento. You know what I mean? It's just completely forgotten everything that's come before it.
Martin,
into the nightmare.
Martin Samuel, the always ever-obliging Martin Samuel, just not challenging him on anything.
No.
Just he sent his PR lines, we'll print it anyway, everything's going to be fine. On the same day, the Sports Direct I think they're going to be charged. The Belgium authorities are demanding £605 million from Sports Direct. So very much SEO gaming.
That's unpaid taxes, right?
Unpaid taxes. Yeah. SEO gaming chaff. Mike Ashley goes, right, I'm going to be in the newspaper for this reason. Let's release just a load of noise, a stream of consciousness on the same day, and everyone will forget that I'm being, you know, I'm being asked.
That is incredibly cynical.
This is him making buses in his spare time.
This exactly. This is exactly.
I, honestly, you read that.
It's not even worth disseminating.
It really isn't.
Well, we are doing that though. It's worth
disseminating.
Yeah. We did it so you don't have to.
Do you think it will distract the tax authorities?
big Newcastle United fans,
maybe.
Well, I mean, are you suggesting then, Pete, that we should give exactly the same amount of time to Mike Ashley's tax bill as we do to that interview for balance?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
£605 million is a big tax bill.
That's not small potatoes, is it?
It's an awful lot of money, that.
That is a lot.
My goodness.
Boycott Arsenal.
let's go abroad briefly, because Gareth Bale... I know this is a sort of thing we might cover on the continent, but it's not on this week. And it's such a huge story. I just love to know what you...
The hell is going on.
Yeah, but what do you make of this whole Gareth Bale business? Is it sad that he's not taken a wage cut and goes elsewhere? Do you feel disappointed for him that Real Madrid wouldn't stump up the cash?
So should we give people a quick update as to the latest, just in case people haven't been following it because they're not as sad as us? Yeah. So despite the fact that this is as far as I understand it, and let's be honest, Andy Brass is on holiday.
Yeah.
All right. There's no one on the continent this week. Mm-hmm. So we're doing our best.
Absolutely.
All right.
He is British.
Through the muck and nettles to try and work.
Real Madrid playing France?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. French champions Real Madrid are according to Zinedine Zidane, absolutely desperate to move Gareth Bale on. But his agent, who's fuming, permanently fuming, Jonathan Barnett, has apparently set up a move to China where he's going to earn an awful lot of money. But it was called off late doors over the weekend because Real Madrid purportedly cancelled it because they wanted a payment that Zhangzhou Suning wouldn't pay.
Right.
And so now he's almost certainly going to stay.
The thing is, I heard that the payment... strange it's been referred to that, is just a transfer fee. I think Madrid were like, we're not just going to give him away.
I believe in China they have to be structured a certain way, yeah, because you have to pay 100% tax on every transfer fee you pay. So they end up paying double. It's all a bit of a mess, really. I'd like to see Gareth Bale not go to China because he's only 30, yeah, and he's out a lot of money anyway. I think he's on 15 million euros a year anyway.
Yeah, I think he works at about 600 grand.
And also his commercial deals will be huge too.
I know he's achieved a lot. I mean, you can't throw anything at him and say, well, by the way, you're wasting your talent. He's won 4 Champions Leagues, yeah, and he's done very well, regardless of all the chutney around it and whether he deserves more respect or whatever, whether Real Madrid fans love him. He's achieved a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of time for him to go to China, 3 or 4 years down the road. Unless there's something about his physical fitness that we don't know about. I think it's premature for him, and I think he should follow the fun and not follow the money.
Follow the fun.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it'd go, though, because it would involve him taking a pay cut.
And quite a substantial one.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't think Perez wanted to lose him, to be honest. I think that's just a bit of a power move from him, just sort of saying, Zidane, put your cock away, you're keeping him. He's a massive asset. You know, the way that these things are structured, you don't get all the money the first year that you're there and stuff, so you're going to lose a bit of money anyway if you move somebody on. Mm. They won't get the market rate for a player like Gareth Bale, even if he goes to China, because as you said, they've got to pay double, and they're not going to get the amount of money that he would command as a footballer, as talented as him, and with the record that he's got. Mm. So I think Perez is just going, Zidane, like, work within your means and play him.
Well, some of the stories that come out of Real Madrid recently. Did you hear what Thibaut Courtois said?
You call him the golfer.
Well, apparently he is nicknamed the golfer by all his teammates.
It's not the worst nickname, is it? Footballers have had over the years.
Courtois said that Bale refused to attend a team meal because he said he didn't want to miss his bedtime. Which, I mean, it's a bit strange that.
Yeah.
I mean, they do eat very late.
They do in Spain.
They do eat
you think
very
he'd be used
late
to that by now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's talking a lot about his family being settled in Spain, isn't he? Which is why he doesn't want to leave. Just force a move to Atletico.
There was also a really mischievous picture that did the rounds on social media over the weekend, because of course Real Madrid lost 7-3 to Atletico, which we'll talk about in a bit. But there was a still of the bench. And everyone's standing there kind of stony faced, and Gareth Bale's got a big smile on his face. Of course, it's nothing to do with that. He's not happy, of course, but it's just a really mischievous, like the age of social media, getting
he's
that.
He's got
across.
A very friendly grimace. Gareth.
Snake emojis all over the place.
Yeah. Diego Costa, despite scoring 4 goals in that game, was still very angry.
Yeah. Oi, we're coming on to that. Am I a bit later?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Marcus.
Forgiveness,
it's
please.
It's a shared document.
Sorry, bruv.
We can talk about it now. What's
no, this? Later will all be right. Greater.
Fine.
You've still got a bit of time to find that 2 Unlimited song anyway.
No.
Everton, they've made a £55 million bid for Wilfried Zaha.
Mm.
Everton
aren't,
really
aren't
going for
it,
it.
Though, are they?
Yeah, I thought to myself, would Zaha go? It's a tricky one for Zaha, isn't it? I mean, of course, Palace value him higher.
Yeah.
But if Everton came back, would Zaha go to Everton? Because he talked about he wanted to play in the Champions League, and clearly Zaha fancies a crack at a top 4 club in the Premier League or... a big club on the continent, perhaps.
I wonder if in this situation he might just stay at Palace for another year and then effectively decrease his value by, you know, his contract running down a bit. So I don't know how long it is, the contract.
He signed a long contract in the summer of last summer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which at the time we reported saying that, you know, it's probably going to be good for everyone because they'll get more money for him if he goes next year. And he gets a good pay boost in the meantime. And obviously the fans are happy.
Mm.
I can't remember if we said it on this show. What day is it today? Monday, on Thursday, that he's the most irreplaceable player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And so they need to keep him at all costs. But Roy Hodgson's comments over the weekend were really interesting. Roy Hodgson said, I can't tell you anything. He's now dealing directly with the chairman. They get on well, blah, blah, blah. I've got no information on this. And then he did say, I only know what you know. I only know it through reading your newspapers and websites. I don't believe that bit, Roy. But apparently he is in negotiation with the chairman. So...
Yeah,
I mean, I feel a bit like, of course, we'll never know, but I feel a bit like that contract he signed in the summer was almost, it felt a bit to me like they were saying, okay, look, if you stay for another year, we'll let you go after another year. The same way that we see other players have that situation, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With, you know, whoever it may be. Let's talk, because Koscielny had that promise last summer. I don't know if that's true or not.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ronaldo was another one, yeah, at Man United.
So, Hazard every year.
until now. But I think Palace can, one thing's for sure, and hopefully we all agree on this, that Palace can expect a bit more money than that from Everton.
Yeah.
Or from anyone.
It's an interesting time as well, isn't it? Because I think, you know, even though the TV money has been here for a while now, I still feel like no one's really entirely sure of what the market rate is.
Mm.
For, like, I mean, Sean Longstaff, for example,
Yeah.
Sorg of £30 million for him. He's played 11 Premier League games.
It's talking more than that, I believe. But yeah.
It's like incredible, people are sort of guessing, it seems.
That was one of the things Ashley said in his interview as well, wasn't he? He said, there's no way Longstaff's going in the middle. They've got that on record. So, I mean,
it's well, he never breaks his promises, does Ashley, does he?
Been another thing to beat him with. But yeah.
There's no way he's going because he's already gone.
Did you start this off thinking it might be intimating that it's a bit of a sideways move for him then? Because I don't think it is a sideways move.
I don't think it is a sideways move. Look how close Palace were to getting into really.
It's not what I said. I didn't say
I was wondering if you were intimating it or not.
I was suggesting that it is not the move that he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is clearly a step up. Everton are a bigger club than Palace.
But he can make a bigger step up than that.
Well, that's what he's thinking. And so actually, if, say, Everton go, okay, here's 70 million, for example, cash up front, and Palace are thinking, do you know what? He's going to go. No one's offered us this.
Yeah.
Zaha then has to make a decision. Mm. Does he go to Everton? Because if Everton finished sixth this coming season, it would be a phenomenal achievement. Really would be a great achievement to unseat probably Man United or Arsenal. We're looking at going on last season.
To break into that six would be great.
Absolutely. But he's not going to get Champions League with Everton.
No.
Unless they perform unbelievably well.
The circumstances around, again, are very interesting because we talked about this at the start of the show. Another player in Felipe Anderson, Zaha. Well, he's not going to leave the Premier League, probably because of the money, right? Well, he's not going to Man City. Mm-hmm. They don't want him. He's not going to go to Man United because he's already been there. Yeah. It didn't work for him.
He's maybe hoping for Spurs, but they've already paid big money.
He was linked to Spurs in the past, but they've looked at other players.
Cool. Arsenal seem to be his best bet, but they've spent big on Pepe.
Well, we haven't signed Pepe yet.
Well, so okay.
That's not over the line. There was talk of Chelsea trying to strike an agreement to sign him after their transfer ban, which would be interesting and a smart move from them. If they can manage it.
That was what I was going to say. Chelsea obviously can't get him. So, I don't know. We'll watch this space.
I do get the feeling that Everton could jettison a player a week and still have a massive squad.
They do seem to be very busy all the time, don't they?
They look like they might lose Gay to PSG, though, which would be a huge...
Who is it who hates Marco Silva? Is it Richard Keyes?
Probably.
I think Richard Keyes hates him. Yeah. So I think Keyes would be fuming.
Well, because did you see over the weekend that Keyes hates Rafa Benitez?
Yeah.
Shea Given was spotted liking one of his tweets about Rafa Benitez being a dickhead.
No.
It's just everyone. Sean Amiobi, Kevin Nolan, everyone is just falling foul of the Ashley coin.
Are they all upset that Benitez didn't put his hand in his pocket and buy players himself?
yeah,
but do they go out to Doha and do punditry and get paid well for it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Mm. Who knows if that's relevant or not. Let's have a quick break, Petey.
All right, then. Hang on.
He makes a movement, doesn't he?
Sounds like he's yawning.
Oh, he makes a movement, doesn't he?
Are they watching the same thing there?
Football Ramble Daily is now supported on Patreon. You heard about this for the first time a little bit earlier on in the show schedule, basically Thursday. Ramble is going to be here as usual in your pod box. Basically, you don't have to do anything at all. Nothing is changing. I can't stress that enough. Football Ramble Daily will be in the place where you usually find it. All right. But if you want to support the show by kicking in a couple of shekels, a couple of pennies, 12 years of free shows, that's all I'm saying, guys. and get a little bit closer to us, check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/footballrambledaily. There are loads of optional extras. You got the Discord server, which is going off like a frog in a sock, Luke Moore.
I just sent, only this morning, I sent an exclusive, unseen, hot off the press photo of Marcus Speller to the
Lingerie.
Discord with the caption saying, it's always nice to have a Marcus in there.
It is.
He was in a various state of undress. Yeah. If that floats your boat, that's the only place you're going
to
see it.
Exactly. You've got the Discord server. You've got the chance to record a WhatsApp voice note for consideration to be used on the pod itself. You can get your voice on the podcast as long as it's okay. As long as
We'll check it first.
And even exclusive access to an Ask Me Anything monthly Q&A as well. So there you go. URL is patreon.com/footballrambledaily. It's all up there. Check out the video and kick in a couple of quid.
Excellent.
Lovely stuff. I thought I'd bring to the table, guys, something that Marcus mentioned in the intro, which gave me a lot of pride.
Yes.
Because I put something in the running order and Marcus deemed it to be so worthy of discussion that he put it in that very exclusive, and you guys, Jim and Pete, know what I'm talking about here, that he never lets anyone see ahead of time, that very exclusive intro where he does over the music at the beginning.
Okay.
And it was that Vincent Kompany, former Man City captain, of course, despite naming himself in the starting 11 for Anderlecht's first league match of the season, they lost at home 2-1 to KV Oostend, who were poor last season, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I think only 7 or 8 points, I checked earlier, 7 or 8 points off of relegation. They lost at home in their opening game of the season. Big Vinny, 33 years old, player manager, which we do love to see, has started off quite badly, despite them going a goal up.
And despite they having 2-1. Sami Nasri among their ranks.
They lost 2-1. And they weirdly, they had, I suppose, not weirdly, because apparently he's a bit of a legend there. Thomas Rosinski gave a rousing speech on the pitch before the game. And there were a load of banners for company. One said, left like a prince, came back like a king.
Yeah, I quite like that.
So there's loads going on at Anderlecht, but they lost at home. The TIFO for
Anderlecht
company was amazing. You seen it?
Yeah,
you seen that one, Marcus? Yeah, purple and white? Yeah,
it's very easy to draw his company, though, to be fair.
Yes,
very lot that's of clean a 10-minute job. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of clean lines.
Brzezinski's a technical director for a Belgian side.
Is he really? Okay.
Yeah, but I think he might have won a couple of league titles with Anderlecht.
He had an amazingly prolific goal-scoring time there.
He was very good there. But I know what you mean. For the outside looking in, when you see Thomas Rosinski giving a big speech, you think, he's not actually currently, unless he's an ambassador or something like that, he's not really sort of...
Would you, Marcus, would you certainly have him up there in your top five Polish-Canadian footballers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling to think of of many better.
It's definitely my top five.
I'd say, do you know what? Yeah. Do you know what? To put my neck on the block, I might even say top three.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Listen, you can hear, if you subscribe to the Patreon, /footballrambledaily, Marcus will do you his top five Polish-Canadian football players.
Stop promising on things I can't deliver.
It was a bit late for that.
I'd forgotten that Sami Nasri was there.
Yeah.
He came on, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There we go.
You could also buy, they lost at home, as I've said 100 times. You could also buy a Welcome Home Vincent scarf as you wanted.
Yeah.
So there you go. For a man of just 33 years old, returning like a legend.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on his shoulders now.
He's saying, come on, guys, wear a scarf in August.
Yeah, that's the biggest ask.
Yeah, damn right. Damn right. Oh, dearie me. I did enjoy Daniel De Rossi going to Boca Juniors. People going, making lovely moves and romantic ones.
In the running order, I wrote, Daniel De Rossi is 53, and Luke deleted it because he genuinely thought that he was 53.
Yeah, but you are sometimes quite difficult to predict your behaviour. And I don't know, sometimes you get very angry about things.
I think that Boca Juniors would not be signing a 53-year-old player in a playing capacity.
Why did you put it that he's 53 then?
Because it's funny, because he's old.
Oh, he's only 36.
To be fair, though, do you
pretty
not...
old for a football player to make his first move.
Well, he'd be the youngest man in this room.
to be fair to old PED, do you remember when it was Santos who got to the World Club Championship?
Yes.
And we're thinking about bringing on Pele in the final because he hadn't got that trophy yet. Pele was 73 at the time. Ridiculous. I think they played Pep Guardiola's Barcelona in the final.
Imagine it.
So a 53-year-old, to be fair, Daniel De Rossi, who to be
King Kazoo-esque.
When Daniel De Rossi is 53, he's currently 36, but when he does make it to 53, he is the type of man you think could still do a job.
Yeah.
Well, he could
he's
do a
got
job
that aura about him.
I guess playing for Boca, he's quite an aggressive footballer, isn't he? So I think he'll do all right.
I loved the quote. He said, "I still want to play football. It would be unjust to me if I decided to stop now."
He said that it would be a real loss to my career if I didn't play for Boca Juniors. Like, you've got a lot of clubs in the world you could play for, though.
He's just been a one club man, though. Yeah. He's just been a Roma the whole time. So I think to move somewhere, it would be somewhere. There's no way they're going to play Roma in any kind of way.
It reminds me of when Clarence Seedorf did 100%. Two seasons at Botafogo, and there was that picture of him at the age of probably about 38. Yeah. And his abs. I'm going to stick this out there. I don't think I've seen better abs on any other person.
Peter Andre back in the day would have been jealous.
Right up there. Top three. Yeah. Your top three would be
Jim Campbell,
Clarence Seedorf, Peter Andre and the Mysterious Girl video featuring Bubbler Ranks, and
Brad Pitt Fight Club.
And Pete, when he went through that phase, he got to the gym all the time.
What about Mr. Paparazzi Darren Lyons?
Had them installed in France.
It's great.
Seedorf apparently. Remember, he had Patrick Cliver at Cameroon, didn't he? And they just got fired. That's going to make your abs look better, innit? Second in command.
Yeah, off the back of the African combination.
But it is such a sort of, it's almost a nerdy move, isn't it? It's like a real football nerd thing. I wouldn't say this to his face, obviously.
Although if you go down to Boca, there's very few nerds in the crowd.
I'm going to put that picture of his abs. He's 36 there.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he's showing them off.
I'm going to put that on the Discord. That is an absolutely ridiculous.
He's like he's smuggling like massive Tic Tacs in his stomach. He's like he's eating loads of pellets.
It looks like it's concrete. It looks like it's made of concrete. The man is absolutely
ripped.
You could
punch it all day and he'd never feel it. Beautiful.
Yeah. You hurt your hand as well.
Beautiful abs.
Of course, De Rossi will have a certain someone as his new teammate, Jim.
God, yeah. So I don't know if you've seen, but Carlos Tevez has got a Netflix series about his stupid life.
Here we go. Advertised. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a parody.
No, it appears to be real, unless he's mugged me off.
Right.
It's just like, I get why Netflix are doing it. Obviously, Narcos was a big success. And they played another one of South America's greatest monsters. But but yeah.
It's almost true crime at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was funny on the Discord, actually. I was chatting to a few people. They were like, oh, isn't this amazing? I was like, yeah, it's good. We were chatting away. And then Jim just came in. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot Jim hates Carlos Tevez.
Yeah. So what's it about? Just like
it looks like it's just a biopic of his life, effectively. Because, I mean, he did have, by the looks of it, had a very colourful upbringing in a very rough part of Argentina. So I'm sure it'll be an interesting story if you can stomach the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just love how upset he is. Just loads of shots of him at the fairground with his family. Uh-huh. Was that Tevez? He just always take some time off.
Was it someone who said, I forget who it was, a manager who worked with him, I think, said that, did he have any chance of sort of learning English? And he's like, well, apparently he doesn't even really speak Spanish.
Yeah, his Spanish isn't that great.
Yeah.
I like it. Not for me. I remember.
I got told by a manager who managed him that he sat him down in an English manager who managed him, sat him down in an office with his translator. He had a translator wherever he went.
Yeah.
At that point, I don't know if he still, presumably, probably still can't speak English. But
I don't know. I remember him doing a bit of a botched interview in English, to be fair.
Yeah. Apparently, Tevez is mad as a hatter, and he sat down in the office with his
translator,
interpreter. Yeah, and the end, obviously hadn't been playing well, and the manager in question divided the pitch into three thirds, and went, "You play here. How are you going to fucking score if you're never in that final third?" And ranted at him, and said to the translator, "Translate this exactly as I'm saying it." And he translated, and Tevez just sat there laughing.
is that it? I can't understand this.
He's left, yeah. So if it's like that, it might be quite good.
Look, he is worth it for me. That lovely bit of Manchester City social media back in the day, where it's Balotelli and him trying to wrap Christmas presents, and he just couldn't do it.
Was Park Ji-sung involved?
They were friends. Not sharing a language, is that right?
They were really good friends.
Yes. Evra might have been involved.
Evra.
The trio.
Knowing what we now know about Evra, that makes a bit more sense.
It's absolutely glorious.
Oh, well, we can't move on without... We can't finish the show without talking about Diego Costa.
Another South American monster.
Because I don't know if people, if heads are rolling about this result, but Real Madrid lost 7-3 to Atletico Madrid.
Bloody glorious!
And they were 6-0 down at one point.
I couldn't believe it.
When they were 6-0 down, for those who haven't seen it, and at this point, I think Diego Costa had already scored 4 goals, to put it in the context of how angry he didn't need to be. biggest rivals, you've scored 4, you're winning 6-0, right? I know that probably doesn't count as an official result, but it's going to be up there as one of the biggest beatings of Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid have ever done. It's also funny because it finished 7-3, which is one of the one of their European Cup finals finished 7-3 against Eintracht Frankfurt.
Hamden, maybe?
Anyway, Danny Carvajal gets so frustrated that bit they're losing 6-0, he just boots someone up in the air, and he gets instantly sent off for it, as you'd expect. But before that can happen, Costa, who's in the vicinity, just runs straight up to him, boots him up in the air, and also gets sent off himself. It's like completely pointless.
To be fair, you know, that's not going to carry over, is it? So Costa's thinking, I've got a chance to just get a free hit here.
What's the only thing I could do to make this day better?
Yeah. I've had a lovely time. And look at that. Yeah. That's what about Kieran Trippier?
You think for his birthday, Costa just gets red cards? Just loves them so much. Yeah, that's a good thing for him. Yeah, Trippier starting.
He did.
He said there was a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes.
At Tottenham Hotspur.
They changed the stadium. I didn't know where I was coming or going.
I went to the wrong place.
Yeah. Was the thing happening behind the scenes, Kieran, that they didn't want to pick you in the team anymore?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know, though.
Things happening on the pitch as well.
I'm really excited to see him at Atletico. No sooner had he gone there, he was on the training pitch, of course. And Germán
Burgos. That's the least you can ask for, to be fair.
Germán Burgos was like jockeying him, making sure. And people said, Trippier, not very good defensively. And we said, well, Pochettino improved him, of course, but if anyone could improve him even more, it would probably be Simeone. And also, if 100%. Germán Burgos is following you along in the training, this is where you need to be zonally. And all that is a man you bloody well listen to.
Well, I think it's a really great move for him, and I respect him for doing it.
Yeah.
The thing that sticks in my mind about Trippier is that... this goal he scored for England in the semi-final of the World Cup, and his set-piece delivery has obviously been quite good, although last season it tailed off quite badly.
Scored a lovely one against Fulham, though, early on in the season, but you're right to say it tailed off.
But you know what? Guess how many goals Kieran Trippier scored in total for Spurs?
Well, probably only about two or three.
Two?
Yeah.
In total?
Well, one of them was last season, mate.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, you'd expect him to maybe contribute a bit more than that because his delivery's so good.
Yeah, but in terms of like taking free kicks, I mean, I never really put him down as a...
No, it was a bit of an anomaly that he took that one for England, wasn't it? And I mean, what an incredible World Cup he had. I know that was a while ago now, but, you know, he's an excellent player. And I think...
He loves to have that part of our heart season. Where we say, oh, okay, yeah. we had good times, didn't we?
Yeah. I think it was a good move all round.
I agree.
Did you see that we spoke about the Get Footballer, of course. It's the Twitter account that obviously wrote all those things. It's changed into an Aston Villa fan account.
Yeah, it's somebody, I think even on our Discord actually pointed out that you know, said, I'm sure within a week it will change into some fan account and just, you know, use the followers. And that's exactly what happened. It's really, really disappointing. And
to be able to write quite emotional, grown-up language, that kind of thing, and then as a gag, just seems like a bizarre state.
I mean, is it a gag or is it somebody trying to just hoover up followers? The logic of it is
it looks to me now that it's been changed again. The tweets are completely protected now.
Yeah.
And there's no followers hardly.
Well, it's 40,000 followers.
Oh, really? Okay.
All very weird. But I mean, the outpouring of support when people thought it was genuine was very, very good. So hopefully that will serve as almost a little trial run of what the reaction might be like if anybody wanted to do something similar in future. So let's hope it doesn't set anything back.
Mm. Yeah, agree.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. Let's end on that note, Jim. Yeah. Nice one. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're back on Thursday, of course. And we have some football coming up this weekend, do we not?
Community Shield. Portsmouth at Shrewsbury.
That'll definitely get a mention.
They grow up so far.
That's the Football League back. Nice one, Lukey Moore.
Thank you very much.
Nice one, Petey D.
Bye-bye.
Nice one, Jimmy
nice
C.
Nice one yourself.
Yeah, see you soon, everybody.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you here. Arsenal threw away the Emirates Cup. West Ham's new boys got a writ. Oh, bollocks. Sorry.
Hey.
Yes. Rubbish.
All right. Coming in
rubbish.
Again.
Three.
Pete
a
loves
two,
it when I get it wrong.
A one. Yeah, because I can put it at the end.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.